Welcome, everybody. How you doing? I'm Joe McCall, and I'm with Larry Goins.
What's up?
I'm so excited about this. I wanted to introduce you guys. A lot of you already know Larry. Some of you don't even know who I am. But I have begged and twisted Larry's arm and asked him, I said, listen, we need to do a course called Small Town Prophets, talking about what you are doing right now. And I just love Larry. I know a lot of people in the industry. I've been in the business a long time. And every time I talk to Larry, or when I'm at his office, or when we're on the phone, he's talking to sellers, he's talking to buyers, he's talking to investors. He's doing deals, and he's doing a ton of them. But the way he's doing it is so different than what everybody else is doing. He is focusing on the small towns. He's ignoring the big towns. And I said, Larry, I don't know anybody else that's doing this or is teaching this. This is really, really needed right now in the industry. Can I please interview you and create a course out of this? And Larry was gracious enough to say yes. And I'm excited about it. I got my pen and paper here. We're going to sit down and talk. It's kind of like a campfire chat, but there's no campfire. And Larry's got the whiteboard. And he's just going to teach us some cool stuff. And I'm looking forward to this, Larry. How are you, sir?
Man, I am doing fantastic. I really appreciate you coming up with this idea. It's a great idea. I never really even thought about, you know, what I'm doing is that unique. But the more people I talk to, the more people have told me, man, Larry, this nobody's doing this. Yeah. You need to show people what you're doing and how you're doing it. So we came up with this, and I'm really excited. I've been working really, really hard on it, and I'm really excited to be able to jump right in and share exactly what we're doing, because we are doing quite a few deals. We're doing a tremendous amount of deals, actually, anywhere from 5 to 20 deals a month, each and every month, and we do them all over the phone. Right. So, and I have done deals in 12 different states, but right now we focus on some small towns outside of my MSA, and we'll get into all the details.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about why Larry does that. But here's the bottom line. Like, it's getting harder and harder. It's more and more competitive right now in the big cities, and everybody is just going after each other. And there's so much competition going after these few small sellers, but everybody's ignoring these small towns. Not Larry. So this is an amazing opportunity. This is a brand new opportunity. No one else is really doing this. No one else is talking about this. People have been afraid of the small markets, but Larry, he knows what's going on, and he is the foremost expert in all of this. So I'm looking forward to learning, and I'm looking forward to maybe even pitching my 2 cents in, because I've done deals in small towns before. I love small towns. In fact, Larry, every time I've done a deal in a small town, I get a property under contract, not because I'm targeting it, but because maybe a seller in my target market has a property out in the sticks or something.
Right.
I get real nervous, but man, I'm telling you, every time I've advertised that property or put some signs in the neighborhood out in the sticks, I get tons of calls on them, and I sell them really quickly. In fact, sometimes faster than the homes in the city. So I'm looking forward to this, Larry. Thank you very much.
That's awesome. Well, guys, I know this is not the biography channel, you know, the biography channel, but just to give you a quick background about myself, I bought my very first house in 1986, before a lot of you were even born, right? I have sold hundreds of houses over the years, probably over 1,000, but I haven't kept track, so I don't say over 1,000, but I've actually bought and sold properties in 12 different states, done residential, commercial, multifamily. I've done triple net lease. I've owned Shoney's restaurants, Dollar General stores. I've done land development. I've gone in and bought land, subdivided it, cleared, graded, graveled, and paved, put in roads, and then I built houses on the lots and sold the houses. So we've also done wholesaling, retailing, lease options. We've done short sales, subject to, done rentals, seller financing, just done a tremendous amount of different kind of real estate. So yeah, we've used cash, we've used hard money, we've used private money, private placements, equity participation, and of all the things that I've done, right? And like I said, I don't say that to impress you. I say it because of all the different things I've done and all the different things I've been exposed to, what I am doing full-time in my business is what you're about to learn, right? I could do all these other things, but what you're about to learn and what we do in our business full-time is what you are about to learn. I mean, I still believe in education. I spend about 30 grand a year on education, right? Joe and I are in a mastermind. Oh, yeah. Just one mastermind is $22,000 a year. So now that I think about it, it's probably closer to 50 grand that I spend, right? Now that I think about it. Because another mastermind I'm in is 25,000. I don't pay 25 because I've been in it for 7 or 8 years, right? I'm grandfathered in. When I got in it, it was 12, right? But just those two things alone are over 30 grand, right?
Well, Larry, they've off. It's a true saying: the best real estate you'll ever invest in is the 4 inches between your ears, right?
That's exactly right. Wonder where you heard that. Where did I hear that? Yeah, that's funny. We've both been saying that for years, haven't we? That's true. That's true. Now, we also in our business, we right now we do wholesaling, we do lease options, seller financing, and a few discounted notes. As I mentioned, I've done it in 12 different states. We make hard money loans as well. We lend to local investors that want to do fix and flips. We loan them money. I've written a couple of books. One's called Getting Started in Real Estate Day Trading. The other one is called HUD Homes Half Off. We have a podcast like you, Joe. One's called Brag, Be Rich and Generous. And the other one is Brain Picker Pro, which you've been on a time or two. And, and that sort of thing. So, Joe, you know, I know you and I both are sharing this with our own audience, but why don't you share with my audience a little bit about yourself?
Well, thanks, Larry. I appreciate that. I have been an active full-time real estate investor since 2009, and I have done deals literally from all over the world. Those of you that don't know me, I talk about this a lot on my podcast, but we, with my family and our four kids, my wife and our four kids, have traveled to Europe twice for 2 to 3 months at a time. And then once we went for 3 months in an RV around the northwestern corner of the U.S. and did deals while traveling. So I'm a firm believer, even when I was working my full-time job and I was just getting started and I was doing deals, I still was not seeing the houses. I wasn't going to the houses. I was negotiating them over the phone. And I've always been trying to find ways to build systems and processes and get people in place that can help me run my business for me in spite of me. And so I've done deals in maybe 10 different states from at least 4 different countries while traveling, literally. And if all you have is a laptop and a cell phone, that's all you need, isn't it, Larry? Because it's just a matter of getting the marketing, talking to some sellers, making offers, following up, and finding somebody to market the home, maybe put some bandit signs in the neighborhood. It's so easy. People complicate it too much. We need to take a step back and say, you know what? If I can do one deal a month, there's no reason why I can't do 8. And I also like to say, if I can do deals in one market, there's no reason why I can't do deals in 8 markets. It's just a matter of systems and processes, right?
Absolutely, Joe. Absolutely, Joe. Thanks for sharing that. You know, it's kind of funny you mentioned about you've been gone for 2 months at a time doing deals in 10 different states. I remember when I started out doing virtual investing, and I was virtual investing before the term virtual investing had been coined, right? So I used to say, I do all my business, you'll like this, phone, fax, FedEx, email and internet, right? I did phone, fax, FedEx, email and internet. Now with DocuSign, right signature, you don't need FedEx anymore, right? And who has a fax machine anymore, right?
And we're going to talk about mobile notaries. What kind of transformation that has made in your business.
Absolutely. You know, I'm really excited about that because literally I can get off the phone with somebody and within 2 hours I have a signed contract. I don't care if they live in Jackson, Mississippi or Dubuque, Iowa. It doesn't make any difference. I'll have a signed contract in 2 hours. I don't even care if they don't have internet access, right? I'll have a signed contract in 2 hours.
there's so much power in that, because you're now commit, you're getting them to commit. You're telling them, okay, I'm going to have a notary at your house in a few hours. Will, you know, sometimes sellers will just say yes to get you off the phone, right? But you're getting them to commit, say, I'm going to have a notary there. And that notary, when they show up, they're not going to, they're just like, here's the paperwork, sign it. They can't negotiate anything, right? And sometimes you even have the notary take pictures of the house and fill out maybe an inspection report.
We absolutely do. And we're going to dive deep into that. Yeah. And I'm going to show them step by step exactly what we do, just to make sure that you get a deal signed, sealed, and delivered, right? Because it's one thing to get them to commit over the phone. It's another thing to get them to sign their name, right? So you got to make sure, you got to make sure they're committed in their mind. So many people, Joe, and you know this, so many people will tell you whatever you want to hear to get you off the phone, right?
You got to get
them committed here, not just here, right? You got to get them committed in their mind. Does that make sense?
Very good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to talking about that. We're just giving little teasers out to people. Tell them what we're going to be talking about.
It's really cool, man. It's really cool. All right, so let's just jump right in. Okay, you ready?
Yes, let's go.
First thing I want to talk about is problems with traditional markets, okay? Guys, everybody out there is chasing the big deals. Everybody out there thinks, oh, okay, I live in Cincinnati. I got a market in Cincinnati, right? Or I live in Jacksonville, Florida. I got a market in Jacksonville, Florida, or Denver, Colorado, or Las Vegas, or wherever it is. I live in the Charlotte, North Carolina MSA. That stands for Metropolitan Statistical Area, MSA. You can Google it and look up MSAs anywhere, okay? Let me tell you something, guys. I've been doing this for a long, long time. Right? I'm right inside the Charlotte MSA. Literally, I'm 25 minutes from the airport. Okay. Joe knows, he's been to my office, right?
Yeah.
So I'm literally 25 minutes from the airport in Charlotte. It's been probably 6, maybe 7 years since I bought a house in Charlotte. The last house I bought, somebody came up to us at a RIA meeting where we have a vendor table. Every month we have a vendor table. Guy came up. He was an insurance agent, right? Not an agent, an insurance adjuster, right? And he said, do you guys buy luxury homes? Well, of course, it depends, right? That's the standard answer. It depends, right? This house was a house that was listed on the MLS for $1.8 million, and it had fire damage, had about $700,000-$800,000 worth of fire damage. So what we did was, he told us, you could get this house for $700,000. We got it under contract with a $500 deposit, and we started marketing it, and we sold it for like $795, I believe it was, or $750 or something. I think we made $50,000 on the deal, right? So, but nice. that was literally the last house that I got under contract and bought and sold in Charlotte, right? All of my other deals have been far out, have been a long ways out, okay? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So,
that's really good.
Yeah. So let's talk about some problems with traditional markets. Okay. The number one problem is a newbie cannot compete in an MSA, right? They can't compete in an MSA. And I don't mean newbie in a derogatory comment. Everybody's got to start somewhere, right? Everybody has to start somewhere. But if you're just getting started, if you're brand new and you're trying direct mail or bandit signs or Facebook ads or pay-per-click marketing or whatever, like, I mean, there's a lot of other stuff to do as well, right, Joe? But if you're doing that, you know, you've got a lot of competition, right? You've got a lot of competition out there if you're in the MSA. I don't care if you're in Cincinnati or Cleveland or Jacksonville or wherever it is, right? There's a lot of competition. I remember when I used to market in the Charlotte MSA, you know, and this was way back when you used to go to somebody's house, they'd have a stack of postcards this high from all the different investors. Right, Joe?
Oh, yeah. That's no fun at all, right? You feel like you're just getting started and you're all excited and you finally get a seller lead and you talk to the seller and they tell you, yeah, you're the 500th postcard I've received, or you go to their house and you see a stack of mail. It's discouraging. It can deflate you. And that's the problem with going into these big MSAs, these big markets. You're competing against all the big guys. You're competing with your maybe $500 budget. You know, you're competing against guys that are spending tens of thousands of dollars a month on marketing. So there's just way too much competition.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. In fact, what we do, now we spend a lot of money on marketing, okay? But one deal pays for all of our marketing for the entire month, right? Just one deal. Yeah. So newbie can't compete because there's so many other people out there that have big budgets. And the second thing is they have good sales skills, right? When you're in a big MSA, you've got to know how to sell. And what I mean by that is sell the seller, right? You've got to have good negotiating skills. You've got to know what to say. You got to know how to say it. If somebody says, let me think it over, what do you say? 9 out of 10 newbies have no idea what to say, right? If they say, let me talk to my spouse, let me talk to my brother, let me think it over, let me pray about it. There's so many different things that people say that you've got to know how to overcome those objections. And we're going to talk about that too. We're going to teach you how to negotiate as well in this training, okay? So we're not going to leave anything out.
Let me add something to that too, Larry, real quick, because obviously sales are important and you're going to get better at it as you practice it. But it's not as important in a big competitive market, right? Because there's not so many people competing for these deals. It's okay if you aren't as good on the phone as your competition is, because you don't have the competition in these small towns. So it's easier.
They're forgiving.
Yes.
Right? So, you know, newbie can't compete, sales skills, and you also need really, really good marketing skills if you're going to compete in the MSA. Because if you don't know what you're doing with marketing, you can blow your entire budget and not get any leads, right? Get any leads. I mean, a lot of my students, I suggest very strongly they have a minimum of $1,000 a month budget, okay? Now, you can get by with maybe with $500, especially in small towns, right? But I've got guys, I just got an email from a student just yesterday that said, hey, my phone's ringing. This is my second week. My phone's ringing even more this week than last week. And this guy doesn't have a big budget at all, right? So he's like, I can't handle all the calls. I need help with scheduling. I need help. So, you know, we're going to get into that as well. But that's a good problem to have, right?
Oh, Larry, I had a student in small town Kansas, like nowhere Kansas, right? And we did some direct mail for him. And he called us a week later and said, stop the mail. I'm getting overwhelmed with leads. And I don't remember exactly how much he was spending, but that can be a problem. And that's a good problem to have, right?
Right.
Absolutely. It really is a good problem to have. It really is. So the other thing in the big MSAs, you've got to watch your budget. Not only do you need good marketing skills, but you got to watch your budget because you can blow your budget in no time, right? In no time at all. And also, if you're in a big MSA, you've got to have, I mean, it's imperative. Don't even start a direct mail campaign unless you have some sort of follow-up system, right? You've got to have a follow-up system because remember this, guys, the fortune is in the follow-up. Wouldn't you agree, Joe?
I would say on average, and I do a lot of podcasts, I interview a lot of people for us and the deals that we're doing, and we're doing them virtually in Alabama ourselves right now. I forgot to mention that. We're doing 5 to 10 deals a month virtually in small town Alabama. It takes on average of 3 to 5 months of follow-up between first initial contact to finally doing the deal. On average, 5-6 touches. So sometimes it's faster. We do a lot of deals like within a few weeks, right? But that follow-up is real important. And the way we set it up is we get our virtual assistants to do the follow-up for us. Or when we're doing the follow-up ourselves, it's just a quick text, it's a quick letter, it's a ringless voicemail. But yeah, those systems, they're really easy if you get the right systems in place, but that follow-up has to happen.
Absolutely. That's so true. That's so true. And I'm going to help you shorten that time span as well, Joe, because we do a lot of one-call we do a lot of one-call closes, okay? In small towns, there's a much higher percentage that you can one call close them. I mean, I've had people literally from the time they look at that postcard, they dial the number in about 10 to 12 minutes. I'm sending a mobile notary out to their house to sign a contract. From the initial time they talk with me one time, right?
That's why I'm here, Larry. That's why I was bugging you. We got to create this course, right? That's why I got my pen and paper here. Because that's so important. Good.
Now, the next thing is you don't have to be market savvy to make money in a small town, okay? In a big town, you can go right across the street. It could be a rental market or a fix and flip market on the other side of the street, right? Or it could be one section of town, you know, high crime, you know, and low crime on the other side or one street over. You don't have to worry about that in small town USA, okay? Everybody talks about, well, if you're going to buy a cheap house, it's got to be in a war zone, right? Let me tell you something. I buy lots for $500, okay? That's my standard offer for a lot is $500. I got four of them right now. Right now, I've got four of them, right? So,
yeah.
And I buy houses all the time for $5,000, $7,500, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, something like that. I think I looked yesterday, we have 22 deals under contract right now. Right now in our pipeline, we have 22 deals. Right.
That is awesome. And how many of them, Larry, are in small towns?
100% of them. All of them.
Nice.
And they're in about seven or different set. No, wait a minute. They're in probably eight or nine small towns.
Now, somebody's asking, Larry, like, well, those are small towns for a reason. Like, nobody wants to live there. Why? How can you sell these things if nobody... Once, how can you sell a lot that you buy for $500?
Just keep believing that, okay? Just keep believing it. Save all the deals for me. So let me give you the short answer for that, okay? How many buyers do you need for a house?
Just one.
You just need one. You just need one. See, a lot of people are scared of the small town because where's my buyers? Where are my buyers? Right? And we're going to get into all the advantages of that as well. Because let me tell you something, people in small towns, they hoard money, right? They've got money. They've got mattress money, right? So we're going to talk about who your buyers are. It's not always the same buyer if you're in the big MSA, right? I want to go out a couple of counties, right? So let's keep going. I got some more stuff, right? You're going to save money on marketing. In a small town, you're going to save money on marketing. Okay, because you don't have to mail as much. In fact, your list is going to be much smaller when you're mailing in smaller towns than mailing in like Charlotte, North Carolina MSA, right?
Yep.
In a small town also, now this is not always true, but a lot of times you can use one, maybe two marketing methods instead of having to have like I normally teach and preach, 5 to 10, right? I tell people all the time, you need 5 to 10 different marketing channels. Whether it be direct mail, bandit signs, whether you do Facebook marketing, Craigslist ads, pay-per-click marketing, or bird dogs, or whatever it is, you need 5 to 10 different ways. In a small town, you can typically generate enough leads to do at least 3 to 5 deals a month on a limited budget with one or two different marketing channels. Is that great or what?
Oh, I love that. And let me tell you something else. You can use what we're talking about here for vacant land. If you are targeting vacant land, we just started testing this recently in a small town in Oregon, like small town Oregon. And we're actually getting their addresses, getting their phone numbers, and sending some text messages, personalized text messages one at a time. And we're getting really good responses from that. So you don't have to do 5 to 10 different things. You don't have to spend thousands of dollars on Facebook ads and Google pay-per-click. You can do simple things like postcards, maybe some text messages, maybe a few cold calls here and there, but it doesn't have to be 5, 10 different things. You're absolutely right. Just keep it super simple.
Right. Exactly. The other great thing, I mean, this is a huge, huge benefit. Think about this. In the large MSA, like where you are, Joe, St. Louis, right? How many people do you think that live in St. Louis, what percentage are born and raised in St. Louis? A lot of people come there from other areas, right? Well, guess what? Yep. That's the same for just about every major city in the United States. In small town USA, people were born there. They were raised there. They have ties to the community. They have family there. And it's where they want to raise their family. And they've got support there. They've got people to help them there, right? So guess what? You get a lot of referrals. But guess what? You got to ask for them. You've got to ask for them. But you get a lot of referrals. Let me share one thing. I'll share a couple of quick examples with you. We bought a house. We nickname all of our houses. This house was the snake house, okay? It was actually not too far from us. So I told the lady, I said, I'll come over there and meet with you, because I worked this lady for a long time. She was going into foreclosure, and HomeVestors had come out. Two different realtors came out. Another independent investor came out. And guess what? Nobody followed up with her but me. I kept following up with her, right? So I finally got her to agree to sell me the house. So it wasn't too far. So I drove over there. And I call this the snake house because I'm going through and we take pictures of the houses. So if we go personally, we'll take our own pictures. Otherwise, we send somebody. We're going to teach you that too. But I'm going through and I open up the closet where the water heater was. And I'm like, I thought that was a rubber snake sitting on top of the water heater, right? But all of a sudden it starts moving. I'm like, whoa, right? And this wasn't a small snake. It was about this long, right? And about as big around as my thumb, right? So I told her, I said, Nancy, I said, there's a snake in here. And you won't believe the response she said. She said, what, another one?
No.
So here was the scary part. You know, a water tank, a water heater is insulated, right? This water heater has a hole in the top of it, right? Where you could see the insulation. Slowly, that snake started crawling in that hole and worked its way down into the water heater, right? So that snake eventually disappeared after about a minute. I'm like, remind me not to go anywhere near that water heater again. Right? So that was the snake house. But as soon as we got closed on her house, she said, my granddaughter's boyfriend wants to sell his house. Right? Which, by the way, on Nancy's house, I bought her house for $47,500 and I sold it for $67,500. Right? I made $20,000 on a wholesale deal, on an assignment wholesale deal. Right? So, and she was thrilled. I got a testimony from her and everything.
Larry, did you fix up the house? Did you send a contractor crew over there to fix things up and get rid of the snakes and replace the water heater and all that?
Man, no, not at all. Listen, Joe, there's two things I hate about real estate, right? That's rehabs and short sales. Well, there's three things. Rehab, short sales, and tenants. I don't do any of those three. Right?
Nice.
So I hate rehabs, but all we really did was assign this contract, and we didn't even do a double close. We just assigned the contract and we made 20 grand on the deal, and she was thrilled. She was thrilled. She didn't care. We got her out from under that loan and we put about $17,000 in her pocket, and she was thrilled, right? And other people didn't follow up with her. HomeVestors, another independent investor, and a couple of realtors. They never followed up with her, but I did. But she referred me over to her granddaughter's boyfriend, and this guy, he lived in a nice neighborhood, a little bit further out, nice neighborhood, and where all the houses were $199.9, $215.9, $225.9, right? I paid him what he was asking for the house, $100,000 for his house, right?
Wow.
He was also in default. I paid him $100,000 for the house, and I sold that house. Now, you know about all the iBuyers, Joe, right? You know, like, yeah. What are some examples of them? Open Door.
So, Zillow is doing it now.
Right, right, right. We call those the iBuyers, right? So I knew this was a steal of a house because all he wanted was out from under the loan, right? And he said, you helped my girlfriend's grandmother, you know, maybe you can help me. So he wanted $100,000 for the house. I said, okay. You know, yeah, he put a few thousand dollars in his pocket, not much. He just wanted some moving money, right? So, and the house needed a little bit of work, paint and carpet, and that was about it, right? And light bulbs after he moved out. He took every single light bulb. Right? It happens, okay? But anyway, so I started marketing this property, and for $139,900, guess what? I sent it over to, is it Open Door? Is that the one? Or maybe it's another one. I can't remember. They offered me $142,000 for this house. Now, their closing costs.
OfferPad.
That was it. Because they're in the Charlotte market now. OfferPad offered me $142,000. But the way they do it is you're not going to really get $142,000. I was going to get about $132,000, right? Even though they offered me $142,000, I was going to get about $132,000, right? Yep. So I didn't take their offer, but I did sell it for $135,000. So I made $35,000 on a wholesale deal, and I didn't touch it. I didn't even put the light bulbs back in it, right?
Wow.
So,
that's awesome.
So the moral of that story is you get a lot of referrals. In fact, we got another guy, Alan. I bought his mom's house. Now, his mom, I think, was in her 80s or 90s, and he was handling it. It was a rental property. The tenant was way behind. The tenant was actually a year and a half behind. Okay.
Wow.
A year and a half behind. All right. Now he would get way behind. He would start catching up. He would get behind again, start catching up. He didn't want to deal with it. She didn't want to deal with it. So we made him an offer and I even renegotiated it down. We were paying 17. I renegotiated it down to 11. We ended up selling this property, I think, for around $23,000-$24,000. But since then, Alan has referred me two more properties. He's even running his own ads. Check this out. Alan's even running his own ads now in his own small town to generate leads to send to me.
So you've recruited him like a bird dog.
I didn't even recruit him. He did it on his own.
That's awesome. That's really, so do you pay a referral fee for that or something?
Yeah, what we do is like the first one he referred me, he said, I want $2,000. I'm like, okay. And the one we have going right now, he said, I'd like to have $5,000 on this one. I'm like,
wow.
If I can make it work, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, good.
That's really cool. Now, guys, another advantage of the small town markets is lower prices, right? And lower prices equal bigger discounts, right? You can buy them for a lot smaller percentage, or I should say a larger percentage, right, of the value. In other words, if you're buying a $300,000 house, chances of you getting that house for $100,000 are slim to none, right? If you're looking at a $300,000 house, they're not going to come down to $100,000. But I'll tell you this, I look at a lot of $30,000 houses, and I end up getting them for $5,000, $10,000, $12,000.
So what is the average price range that you are buying these homes?
Well, that's a great, great question. A lot of them are 10, 12, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40. Now, occasionally we'll have some, like I mentioned, $100,000. We've got one right now, we're paying $55,000 for it. We're selling it for $79,900. But the rest of them, I try, and this is a really good tip right here, I try to keep my sell price under $50,000 because there's a whole lot more people walking around with $50,000 than there are $150,000.
So are these, I mean, that's fascinating because most people are going after the bigger deals. You're going after the smaller deals. Can you tell me, like, are you intentionally targeting the cheaper, lower end homes? Or are you just targeting all the, well, we're jumping way ahead because I know you're going to be talking about this soon, but are you intentionally going after the small homes?
Well, actually, just to answer your question, I don't market to anything that has a value over 100,000. I don't market to anything with a value over 100,000. I try to keep the value below 100. And it's kind of crazy. I mean, even with like lots, Joe, you know, you're marketing for lots right now. We have a specific script. And if somebody has a lot, you know, I'm just like, oh, well, you know, I don't really know if I can help you or not. You know, it's a lot. They could take 2, 3, sometimes 5 years to sell. Most people just sell them for what their annual taxes are. I might be able to give you 200 or 300, maybe a little bit more for it. I don't know. How soon were you wanting to sell it? Right. So I'm not looking for the person that wants $5,000 or $10,000 for their lot. Right. So we know what we're going after. We know what we're looking at. And I've also got a very, very, very simple method to analyze these deals too. You won't even need a calculator, right? You won't even need a calculator. It's very, very simple. All right. So let's jump into some more advantages about the, about small towns. Okay. Now, before I say this, I want to preface this by saying this is not being derogatory or meaning anything bad about anybody, but in small towns, your sellers aren't as astute or maybe sophisticated is the way to look at that. Okay. They're just good people. They're salt of the earth people, blue collar working people. You're not going to be dealing with attorneys and engineers and executives. You're dealing with good old people, right? People who would give you the shirt off their back, people who are, I mean, I've had a guy try to give me a house one time. I'm like, no, I you can't give me that house. I'm going to pay you for it. And I ended up paying him $10,000 for the house, but he tried to just give it to me. He said, just send me the paperwork. I'll sign it over to you. I want to be done with it. And he didn't owe anything on it, right? It was free and clear. Yeah. And it was rented out for $400 a month, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but he never saw the money because his nephew was collecting the rents and keeping the rents. So he just really wanted to be done with it, right? So the sellers aren't as astute or as sophisticated, and I don't mean dumb or anything like that. Don't mean that at all. But what I mean is they're not going to get on their smartphone and start doing research about, you know, how much you offered them or whatever. That's why when I'm on the phone with them and I'm doing my research, I give them specific addresses of comps that I share with them, right? Now, am I going to give them the high comps or the low comps? Yeah, I'm going to give them the low comps, but it's real sales. And I give them the address and I even tell them, look, I'm not doing anything that you couldn't do on your own. Here's the address of the property. This property right here sold for $12,500 August 30th, right? I give them specific addresses and dates, right? So it takes down the defensive wall, right? It lets the, you know, hey, even if I can't help you, maybe I can share enough information to help you be able to sell your property in the future, right? So the next thing is sellers aren't as tech savvy, right? Number one, they're not going to do a lot of research, right? And number two, a lot of them don't even have email. We always ask for, do you have an email address or can we text you? But you would be surprised the people who still have a flip phone, right? One of those little narrow flip phones, right? Yeah. Or they have, I didn't even know you could still get those, right?
Yeah, you can.
But they either have that and they don't have email, right? They don't have email, right? Another advantage about small towns is a lot of people were born and raised there, but they've moved away. Maybe a job transfer moved them away. So we buy a lot of properties where the house is in small town USA, but the person lives in upstate New York or Pennsylvania or Florida or Ohio or whatever. We buy a lot of properties like that, where the owner is out of state. And that's another thing that you can direct mail market to or cold call to are out of state owners. We don't specifically target out of state owners. We just target absentee owners. Okay. Yeah. But a lot of them have moved away and they aren't coming back. Let me give you an example. It was a house in Kings Mountain, North Carolina. Okay. This guy, his parents passed away. He lives in Nashville, Tennessee. It's either Nashville or Memphis. I can't remember. but he lives in Tennessee, right? His parents passed away. He came home to the funeral, and his parents passed away about 5 years ago, okay?
Yeah.
He came home, came to the funeral, went back to Tennessee, and never came back. Never came back. We went in the house. When we went in the house, Joe, their clothes were there. Their food was in the pantry. Everything was still there. The beds were still made. I mean, now there, some kids had gotten in there and trashed it a little bit, right? And took anything that was valuable for kids, right? But you wouldn't believe clothes still hanging up in the closet, you know, stuff still in the furniture, you know, in the dressers, all kind of stuff, right? It was still there. It was all still there. And he hadn't touched it, hadn't even been back, right? So, and it just blew me away. It just blew me away that somebody could let that go for 5 years. 5 years, wow. It had been like that, right? And when we got there, the house was just open. We just walked right in. We just walked right in. And neighborhood kids had been over there, you know, just playing around, whatever they were going to do, you know, just hanging out, because it was a fully furnished house, fully furnished house, right? It was amazing. It was amazing. So it blows me away, people who will move away and not even come back, right? Not even come back.
So did you buy the house and wholesale it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So I don't remember the exact numbers on that house, but I remember he was asking 40 and we needed to be around 10. So somewhere in between is where we ended up being. The next advantage of dealing in a small town is when you're dealing with sellers and buyers, it's really more about the relationship than the bottom line. I have literally had people tell me, you know, Larry, I was offered more on my house, but I really like working with you. I really think you're sincere about what you're doing. I think you want to help people, right? Because we tell them, you know, we may fix and flip the property. We may rent it out. We may find another investor that's going to do that. Or we may find a first-time home buyer. Or we may find somebody that maybe we're going to rent to own to them or seller finance to them, right? We tell them there's a lot of different options that we have, and we try to help both sellers and buyers, right? So it's really about the relationship, and that's very, very important. You don't just call somebody up and say, hey, did you think about the offer I gave you, right? Or you don't just jump right in. You start talking to them. You build a little relationship with them. I mean, we at our office, Joe, and I know you know that because you've been here, but every morning we have a little meeting, and then we have a devotion, and we have a prayer list of people that we pray for in the morning. So, I mean, it's not unusual at all for us to have two or three sellers up on the list. Angel, who works with me, Angel put a seller up there just this morning. He put a seller up there that he's actually buying the house from, but she's having surgery next week. So he put her name on the prayer board as well, right? So it's all about the relationship. And I don't mean that to exploit being a Christian or to exploit or try to get over on somebody. It's not about that at all. But people sincerely appreciate it when they know somebody's praying for them.
Yeah, well, that's really good. And I've seen that true in the small towns that I've done a little bit of deals in. It is about relationships. It's about, honesty and integrity. And that is the most important thing in this business. If you don't have that, then you need to do something else.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've always said, people and principles before profits. When you do that, everyone profits. And I wish I wrote that. I didn't. Truett Cathy wrote it, who is the founder of Chick-fil-A. It's the only fast food that's closed on Sunday. That should tell you something right there, right?
And also the most profitable when you look at, volume per store.
Right.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I love Chick-fil-A. I love Chick-fil-A. So I know, right? So the other cool thing about small towns is you can buy them over the phone with the right script, okay? You can literally buy them over the phone. Now, some people, they don't understand this. Some of them you're either going to have to go to or send somebody to, but we're going to talk about finding a local person that can be your boots on the ground. We're going to talk about that as well. But for the most part, we buy them all right over the phone, right? We buy them over the phone. And but you need to write script. You got to be able to, you got to be able to set it up the correct way, you know? Because a lot of people don't understand that you can make them an offer on their house having never seen it, right? So you've got to be able to preface it the right way and set it up to where they believe you can really do it and do it accurately, right?
And so you're going to be teaching how to evaluate these deals, how to estimate the repairs, the comps, and make really good, fair offers. So it doesn't matter if the house needs a lot of work or a little bit of work, or none work, no work at all, you can still make really good offers on these towns, on these houses in small towns, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, Joe, you mentioned a minute ago, you asked me what kind of price range or whatever. It's kind of funny. We'll buy a house for 10 and we'll sell it for 19.9 or 24.9, right? We'll buy a house for 15 and we'll sell that house for 29.9 typically. Right? We'll buy a house for 20 and we'll sell that house for 39.9, right? So it's kind of funny. We double what we're paying for. We make the same amount the seller is making, right? we've bought houses for 25,000 and sold them for 59.9, right?
Yeah.
So, and don't get me wrong. I mean, listen, some people think, oh, you're taking advantage of these poor, stupid people. Please don't think mm-hmm. that at all. People no. don't have to say yes, okay? We make them a cash offer. If it benefits them, then they move forward with it, right? Well, I've referred people over to realtors. I've referred people to contractors. I've helped people sell their property and not made a dime on it, right? I've given away houses to people that needed a place to stay because I got a good deal on it. And I knew somebody, we bought a house a while back. It was actually a mobile home and I got a really, really good deal on it. So, and I know somebody that needed a place to stay. I just gave it to them. I just signed it over to them and gave it to them. Right. And I don't say that to say, oh, Larry's a great guy and all that. No, but we're helping people. We're not hurting people. We're helping people. They can say no. If they don't want to sell their house for 20 grand or 5 grand or 50 grand, they can say no. But we are an option. We are an option. We had a guy recently where he was getting ready to lose his property for back taxes. Back taxes, okay?
Wow.
And the back taxes was like $3,000 or $4,000. It wasn't a whole lot of money. I mean, imagine how many years that added up, right, to be $3,000 or $4,000. And we were paying him $12,000 for the property, right? He could say no. He could say no. Right. But if we didn't give him $12,000, see, he made nine. He made $9,000 on that deal, right? Otherwise, the tax collector was going to get it, and he was going to make zero. He was going to make no money, right? So,
And probably have a judgment and collections on his credit.
Exactly. Yeah, and we run into that too. You know, don't get me wrong. There's going to be title issues sometimes, and we'll get into that in talking about closing. But it's just a part of the game. It is what it is, right? But you can make really good money, and there's not much competition. And well, I've already went over all the different ways, but that's all the different advantages of dealing in a small town in small town USA. And I love it. You can't get me to spend any money in marketing in an MSA anymore. I'm going out a couple counties.
I love it. All right. So on the next videos, we're going to be talking about two different types of real estate. We're going to be talking about treating this as a business, as an investment. And we're going to be talking about the type of small town properties and how to pick the right market. So we got a lot of good things that are coming up, and we will do that on the next video. Thank you, Larry.